Cloudcast Media.
Drew Schlossberg, Spotlight on the Community Show, amplifying the voices of social impact organizations, entrepreneurs, local nonprofits, and other community champions who shape the culture, creativity, and connectivity of San Diego. Brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union, bringing good things to San Diego for over 60 years. Learn more about what is good for you and good for all by visiting www.missionfed.com.
I'm Drew Schlosser with Cloudcast Media, and we are so thrilled to have in the studio with us today, Graham Bloom. He is the owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. How you doing there, Graham?
Doing really well, thank you.
Beautiful. Now, first question, do you own a dog?
Oh, yes.
How many?
Currently two.
Two, and what are they?
I have a Belgian Malinois,
okay.
Female, and then I have a mini Bernedoodle.
Okay. Is that a combination of a poodle and Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, essentially.
So what's a Bernedoodle? I've never heard of that.
It's a Bernese Mountain Dog and okay. A poodle.
Bernese. Okay. How big? Big size?
So he's a mini. So he's a little guy, just about 30 pounds.
30 pounds. And how about the first one?
My Malinois, she's just under 70.
70. Okay.
A strong working dog.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I just showed Graham a picture of our 16-month-old Golden, who probably in the next 6 years will not be a puppy, I hope. It's a great dog, but as Goldens, they love to have fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah, forever puppies.
Forever puppies, exactly. When did you start the business?
2012.
Okay.
In August.
Any reason why? Just because you love this stuff?
Yeah, so I've been training dogs for about 24 years here in San Diego in Southern California.
Nice.
Had owned a business prior, worked in the community, you know, in shelters, rescues,
nice.
For my own company, and then decided to launch specialty dog training and start over.
Yeah, and when you say specialty, what makes it special? What differentiates it?
Yeah, so we offer a number of different specialty services on the pet dog side and the working dog side.
Oh, okay.
We have obedience programs. We specialize in behavioral issues, mild, moderate, and severe. We train emotional support animals, service
nice.
Animals. And then on the working dog side, we actually train protection dogs.
Really? So with that, I can't wait to get into every single one of those here. Let's just talk about your standard pet on that aspect of
yeah.
it. Would somebody come to you when they just get a puppy and, you know, when we need some training? Would they come to you, we tried the best we could, and the dog is, you know, a little bit hyper, so to speak? That's never the dog's fault. So, you know, or is that not true?
Yeah, it's, well, you know, every dog's different, right? Genetics.
Right. That's right.
Environmentals, and some can be more challenging than others.
Right.
For us, you know, We would love to have people come in the early stages because
right.
we can lay that foundation and build
right.
a long-term relationship. The reality is, because of our training programs and the higher level version of dog training that we do, it's not a fit for everybody with a young puppy. So for someone that's not looking for advanced off-leash obedience and a lifestyle with their dog that they can load them up and take them anywhere and everywhere, we usually redirect them to puppy socialization classes, group classes, and private lessons to other trainers in the community.
Interesting.
Get that foundation and then come to us later on, unless they know what they want. There are folks that come over and they say, look, my vision is by the time my dog's 10 to 12 months old, I really want to do off-leash hiking, camping. I want to enjoy the beach. I want to go to those cafes and coffee shops and enjoy complete and total control.
Right.
And so that's something we can help with on the puppy side for sure, and building that relationship. What most people find us for on the pet dog side is we're often kind of the last stop. They've tried a number of other avenues and routes.
Right.
And either there's challenges within the obedience realm that they're not able to accomplish, or potentially a behavioral issue that's moderate to severe that's detrimental to the family and the animal.
Right, exactly. Give me an example of a behavioral issue.
So the most common ones we see are leash reactivity that can turn to leash aggression or further. So this is when a dog can, I mean, there's varying reasons why it exists, but oftentimes it just starts with excitement on leash. The tension or miscommunication between owner and dog then creates a reaction or reactivity in the animal. And then it becomes learned. The longer that pattern exists, the harder it is to get out of, right? Kind of like debt.
Right.
We call it behavior debt.
Right.
And so we're now having to, you know, counteract what's been learned and replace it with new, good, positive information and behavior.
Right. So in an example like that, and again, it depends on the dog, depends on the environment, depends on the situation. You can't say one shoe fits them all, obviously, on that. But is that where the owner brings them into you, and do you take the dog overnight? Is it like, you know, it's 3 weeks of training, or is it just during the day, or is it everything in between?
Yeah, so our programs specifically are what we call board and train or doggy boot camp.
Okay,
it's an intensive program where the dog does come stay and live with us.
Right.
And it's 3 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
The time frame depends on age, breed and genetic temperament and the behavioral issues that we're up against, as well as the environment they're going back to and
right.
what the expectations are. And yeah, they stay with us. You know, we update owners every week, once a week with videos and photos, which is great, but it's still hard for, you know, everyone to separate and be away from their dog. And we try our best to minimize those.
Can I come and visit while it's going on, or you discourage that?
So we used to allow visits.
Okay.
And I would love to be able to, because it puts everyone at ease.
Right.
The challenge is the one individual that's not put at ease is the dog.
Right.
And that's our number one priority here.
Right.
Dogs, you know, they live in real time. And when you come and visit them, they think it's time to leave. And then they don't leave. And you leave without them again after you've already dropped them off and checked them in. At
right.
which point now we're cycling back to their initial process of settling in with us, and we lose ground.
Right.
So, you know, visits are strongly discouraged, but of course they're owned by, you know, the owners and not us. So if someone is absolutely needing to see their animal, we would never stop them from doing so.
Yeah. No question about it. We're chatting with Graham Bloom. He's the owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. I'm Drew Schlossberg, listening to another edition of Drew Schlossberg Spotlight on the Community Show. We are the nation's longest running community podcast on our 18th year, brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union for 6 decades. This organization is doing great things for people living in San Diego County, from everything for food insecurity, for literacy programs, art, heavily involved with the schools, just a great group on this. So I think the answer, I think I know this one here, is everybody who owns a dog, okay, whether you got a dog that's 3 years old or a dog that just you picked them out of from a breeder, they should absolutely train that dog, should they not?
Absolutely. Every single dog should receive some level of professional guidance, whether it's just the owners working with the dog or trainers and combined with the owners, 100%.
Right, exactly. And with that, and again, I think certainly it depends on the situation. When you work with a dog, and we're talking about the pet dog now, I can't wait to get into some of the training for the service animals and the protection and that aspect as well. But with your standard household pet, the job isn't done by just dropping the dog off and picking him up 5 weeks later. You need some work to do, owner, when you take the dog back, correct?
Yes, 100%. You know, it's I tell people, if you can't follow through and you're not willing to commit to that, take that money and go on vacation or put it in savings, you know.
Right.
Don't hand it over to your dog trainer. We do a very thorough transfer process, and you know, it's a big part of our program. We spend hours, depending on the program level, anywhere from 3 hours to 25 hours, depending on the dog and
right.
the level of training. And that's where we get to educate the owner and catch them up on what their dog knows.
Right.
Because their dog's going to know a heck of a lot more than they do at pickup.
Right. There's no question about it. Yeah. So we had our dog trained in all that business and was doing phenomenal. Dogs are really smart. Of course, I'm not sure if any owner says my dog's an imbecile, but the dog is really smart. Picked up on a lot of stuff. Loves to watch TV. Is just very active. And but I think it did pretty well for the most part on this. You know, so
good.
And we worked. You know, trying to follow to a T what the trainer said to do. You need to do this. You don't need to do that. Do an X, Y, and Z, but have some fun for God's sake. This is, you know, but you got to stick to it. So he's 16 months old. And
fun.
Yeah, he's fun and he's very active. So now he has a play date with another golden that lives in the neighborhood and they go crazy in the backyard and it's wonderful.
That's the best.
100%.
That's the best. Yeah, training should be fun, you know, and life for the dog should be fun. The difference is what we do is we utilize indirect access. Yeah. We allow access to resources of fun and toys and freedom
right.
when the dog pays attention or does something that's positive in behavior. So right. they still get just as much fun. It's just through the channel of, you know, please, may I?
Right. One of my good friends and a frequent guest on the show is Gary Weitzman. He's the CEO of the San Diego Humane Society. I'm not sure if you know Gary at all.
Yeah, Gary and I are pretty close and friends as well.
He's a great guy for 75,000 different reasons on this, and a hoot and smart and loves animals and all that business, and they've done great work. In fact, I need to give him a shout later today, and I'll mention that you were on the show. As well on this. But I think, you know, what's great about what you're chatting about and, you know, and Gary says it all the time, you know, there are a lot of pit bulls are up for adoption and everyone goes, pit bulls are, you know, horrible dogs. And I said, time out. Okay. That is not necessarily true. Talk about that.
Yeah. You know, again, talking about specific breeds and genetics,
right.
dogs are bred for specific needs,
right.
reasons, and
right.
purpose. The breed is high prey drive,
right.
high energy, and prey drive when it's not exhausted properly, managed, and you don't have structure, foundation, and training can turn into negative behavior.
Right.
That negative behavior in a very strong athletic animal who doesn't have direction can turn into a problem.
Right.
So it really does come down to certain breeds, sizes of dogs, ages of dogs, temperaments of dogs need more.
Right.
Oftentimes, pit bulls, incredible animals, typically do need a little bit more time invested in energy exhaustion, leadership, and dog training.
Right.
I've owned them throughout my life. Just lost my pity mix girl not long ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, she was a rescue out of Arizona. My wife adopted her, and one of the most incredible dogs. Did she chase lizards and bunnies all day? Absolutely. But we managed it through
right.
training.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. My dog's a lizard chaser and stares at the rabbits while the rabbits eat the grass. But that's okay. You know,
yeah.
So and that aspect as well. Talk about, you know, when we come back from break, I want to talk about your protection dog service as well, you know, and, you know, is that a big part of the business? Are more people getting protection dogs and so forth? And then we always save time, Graham, at the second half of the interview. What can our listeners do to support the great work you're doing? So give some thought to that when we return with Graham Bloom. He's the owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. I'm Drew Schlossberg of Cloudcast Media, listening to another edition of Drew Schlossberg's Spotlight on the Community Show. We are the nation's longest running community podcast in our 18th year, brought to you by the good folks at Mission Fed Credit Union for 6 decades, doing great things for organizations and people living in San Diego County. We will be right back.
When you do your banking with Mission Fed, you get great rates on auto and home loans. That's good for you, but something good also happens for a lot of other people. We're not for profit, so we put money back into the community to help lots of great nonprofits to keep San Diego strong. So you're not just getting something good, you're doing something good. Come to Mission Fed. It's banking that's good for all.
Brand amplification is the DNA of Cloudcast Media. And our code is the powerful blending of sound, voice, and storytelling to lift local brands and their communities. Whether it is our Brandcast, Schoolcast, or Causecast platforms, the unifying ethos is all about this community, the one you call home. If you dare to dream and want to explore the brand amplification of Cloudcast, a national leader in local podcasting and other Winfluence strategies, please visit us at cloudcast.us.
I'm Drew Schlossberg of Cloudcast Media. You're listening to another edition of Drew Schlossberg Spotlight on the Community Show, brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union. So pleased to have in the studio with us today, Graham Bloom. He is the owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. Talk about protection dog program. Is it growing? Do a lot of people have dogs for that purpose?
Yeah. So, you know, as I mentioned, there's two sides to what we do. And
right.
A vast majority of what we do is we're helping the community that need dog training, and most times rescue dogs.
Right.
There are certain jobs that require a very specific temperament, genetic, and personality. And on the protection side, that's one of them. So what we do is we're providing three levels, level one, two, and three, family, personal, or business protection animals or dogs. These dogs are purpose raised. They're raised in families around kids, dogs, cats, horses, and many different environments to prepare them for the real world. And we're just taking their natural genetic makeup and teaching them the game that they love to play. And it really is truly a game, you know, to them. It starts with rag work and tug and turns into utilizing those tools to create frustration, to create a nice bark on command, for example. The service that we provide in placing these dogs, a lot of people don't get to hear the other side that I do every day. And it's both sad, but also very positive and exciting that we do what we do. We get calls, 3 to 5 calls a day, where there are people that have been victim of a break-in, a home invasion,
right,
an assault.
Right.
I placed a dog with a lady that was assaulted on a trail. There could be someone from their past that
right.
is creating issues in their life and they need increased safety. So whatever that trauma is, it could be a neighbor or friend that went through something and now it's close to home and they want to elevate.
Right.
To answer your question, absolutely, we're seeing a rise in right. those that are acquiring and having protection animals. It's important to note that there are a lot of dogs that are territorial and that look the part, right? They can bark at the fence line and oftentimes that's enough. And we hope that it is.
Right.
Unfortunately, there are some sophisticated groups and individuals, especially those that have someone specific that's targeting them, that they need more than that. And the bark, you know, of a great shepherd mix isn't enough. And that's where we have to elevate that dog, that dog's abilities, and provide a dog to that individual or family that not only will give an early warning, but that in the worst case, hopefully never, but worst case scenario, will stand between them and a potential attacker.
Right, right. And on those, so those dogs are being trained by you now, correct? You have a cadre of dogs, how many, whatever the number is, right? And then when somebody calls, will that dog be with them for the rest of their life or just for a certain period till the threat, so to speak, is gone? How does that work?
Yeah, so we don't do any temporary or
kind of
rental placements like some groups do. We're very into matching homes with the right dog, right need. And we screen homes because we love our dogs.
Right.
We get to know them. We raise them. We adore them. And we're placing these dogs in homes that we know they're going to live an amazing life as a companion. And most times, these are places that I'd love to be a dog in, right? So yes, permanent placement, and they are there to support the long term, whether the threat is, you know, existent or not.
Right. How many dogs do you have that are ready to go to be with a family for protection?
You know, on average, we have 3 to 5 protection dogs that are, you know, in a rolling cycle of
right.
readiness at a time. The reality is the last 2-3 years, demand is up.
Right.
And the supply of high quality protection dogs is tough to find. So at times the wait list can grow to about
right.
3 to 6 months.
Wow.
What we tell people is the right fit and right match. And while their need is urgent, doing it carefully, methodically, doing the research is more important.
Right. Is there a certain type of dog that works better to be a protection dog than others?
So we place majority German Shepherds.
Yeah, right.
And then some Belgian Malinois.
Okay.
The reality is with the German Shepherds and the reason we place majority of this breed is because they have what we call an on and an off switch. They can idle and hang out as they mature and have training and watch TV and sit through dinner and still be alert. Mm-hmm. On the Belgian Malinois, the vast majority are very fast moving, very high energy dogs that do take a lot more to manage. There are needs where we need to bring that dog into someone's life, but we do, you know, provide that very high level education of what that life's going to look like.
Right.
Which is wake up an hour early and plan and go to bed an hour late and maybe have a treadmill and all the other things that you need to do to exhaust the dog. But majority German Shepherds, just because they have such an outstanding balance of walking that line of being a family pet and having protection abilities.
Right. Now, you said you also work with service dogs. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we train service dogs in the private sector. We've got a lot of experience in doing this both on the private sector and the nonprofit sector. You know, we try to find people avenues if they fit into a program that is, you know, a charitable organization where they can have a dog donated or partially donated. So that's always the first thing we try to do. Unfortunately, you know, there's only so many nonprofits placing service animals, and each one has its own segment of what they support in the sense of medical need. So there are times where people, one, don't want to wait 2 to 3 years or can't, and two, have a need that isn't being fulfilled in the community. So that's where we would step in and train, raise and train a service animal for an individual.
Right. Now, with some of these service animals, work with folks that are deaf or are blind or anything in between, wheelchairs or so to speak?
Yeah, we're very specific on what we help with. So we do not do placement for visually impaired.
Okay.
So no seeing eye dogs. We refer those out to organizations that are fabulous and doing great work there. But yes, we've done hearing assist, mobility assistance. So that can be balance support, retrieval. Definitely have placed, you know, a number of dogs with folks that, you know, are in a wheelchair, have limited mobility and need, a variety of tasks to live a more fulfilling and full life. Psychiatric service dogs is a common one. Anyone that's been through any high level trauma, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and varying things surrounding, the need for a psychiatric service dog. But, you know, just to think of even one story, we helped a gal. She was a victim of a Brussels airport bombing. One of the very few in the proximity to the explosion that survived.
Wow.
And, you know, she had lost her legs and needed a service animal. And we trained a dog to be her best friend, to do compression for the psychiatric side, to help sleep. But also the dog pushes buttons to open things, helps open drawers, retrieves items and brings them to mom. And so, you know, the need is vast, and we're here to do what we can to support those in need.
Yeah, yeah. So we're chatting again with Graham Bloom. He is the owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. I'm Drew Schlossberg, listening to an edition of Drew Schlossberg Spotlight on the Community Show. We are the nation's longest running community podcast in our 18th year, brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union for more than 60 years, just doing wonderful things to uplift folks living in San Diego County. What can our listeners do to help support the great work you're doing?
Yeah, if you have a dog and you need support or you have questions and you fit into, you know, any of the categories of dog training, which is everybody, then give us, you know, give us a shout. And if it's not us, we'll direct you to another resource. If you've got a friend, neighbor, family member that has been through something that needs, you know, elevated protection and a companion, same thing on the service side or on the pet obedience side. So biggest thing is just to share and talk about it and educate and promote canine education. It's very important.
Right. And how do they get a hold of you? What's the website?
SpecialtyDogTraining.com. That's SpecialtyDogTraining.com.
So where do you get your dogs from? Do you get them from places like the Humane Society? Do you get them from other shelters? Do you, breed dogs, get them from breeders, all of the above?
Yeah. So the majority of our dogs that are pet owned, are coming as rescues.
Right.
You know, we have probably over 70% of our dogs coming into our pet dog programs that are rescue dogs. We adopt from shelters and rescue partners in the community for a lot of our pre-trained pet programs, emotional support programs, service dog programs, where people come to us and want a dog with a foundation. And then on the protection side, we don't breed dogs, but we do work with breeders that breed working animals.
Right.
They're hand selected based upon their processes and making sure that they're doing it the right way and responsibly. And then, you know, it's important to note for us that if something doesn't work out with one of our trained dogs, we take our dogs back.
Yeah, good for you.
So that they don't end up in the shelter and rescue system. And, you know, there needs to be more of that because, you know, you were talking about Gary earlier at Humane, right. But the shelters are overflowing.
Never been a bigger number in the history of shelters, probably, correct?
Yes. And, you know, there's so many reasons why, training being at the top of the queue.
Right.
And, you know, people sticking to what they say when they place an animal and making sure that they can bring that dog back in and provide it safe housing.
Yeah, you brought up something that's so important as well. Gary and I used to talk about this as, you know, listen, you know, it needs to be a conscious decision to have a dog. So just because the 101 Dalmatians came out with this 18th version doesn't mean you run to the store and get 55 Dalmatians, because then you'll be turning them back in about 6 weeks or whatever, which we see happening in all that business. So as much of the education, and I think, you know, certainly you guys, I'm sure, do a great job at this, is educating people before you get that dog, okay, or that cat or that rabbit or that moose or whatever the case may be. Do you know what goes into this to be a great pet owner, correct?
Yeah, it's a big commitment. And I've always said, and I say it every time I have the opportunity to share, which I appreciate doing today, yeah, is the more you can learn about responsible dog ownership prior to adopting or purchasing a dog, the better. And find a professional ahead of time and learn about match your lifestyle, your needs with a dog so that they align properly. Because the mismatch is oftentimes the biggest issue.
Yeah, you know, you're spot on that. So what I'd love to do is, first of all, thanks for coming in, Graham. Somewhere down the road, if you're interested, would love to bring in one of your happy clients, okay?
Yeah,
you can even bring a dog in if you want. We've had pets in the show here before. But somebody that has benefited from what you've done with them on the service side, on the pet side, probably don't want to do the protection side, but that's up to you too. Would love to see if that's something that's interest of yours.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we would love the opportunity. And, you know, a lot of our clients, we're grateful they shout from the rooftops. So if we can do it into a microphone and share the experience and the importance of training, that'd be wonderful.
Consider it a done deal. Just have Vince reach out to me and you're going to get some other dates to come back in.
Outstanding.
If you got to promise me, you got to bring a dog in.
Yeah, okay? we'll bring a dog.
You can bring your dog in if that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
That'd be terrific. Graham Bloom, owner and CEO of Specialty Dog Training. I'm Drew Schlossberg. You've been listening to another edition of Drew Schlossberg Spotlight on the Community Show. Again, we're the nation's longest running community podcast now in our 18th year, brought to you by the very cool people of Mission Fed Credit Union. 6 decades doing great things for San Diego County residents. We hope you enjoyed the interview.
You've been listening to an episode of Drew Schlossberg Spotlight on the Community Show, amplifying the voices of social impact organizations, entrepreneurs, local nonprofits, and other community champions who shape the culture, creativity, and connectivity of San Diego community. Brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union, bringing good things to San Diego for over 60 years. Learn more about what is good for you and good for all by visiting www.missionfed.com.
Cloudcast Media.